there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
We did it. We made it to a Friday. It's a meat Friday. It's hour one. What a great smell. Got out of my car, walked into the Traegerville, and there it was. Garlic bread, bacon risotto, smoked Tuscan chicken. Otherwise known as Marry Me Chicken. Have you heard about this? That if you want somebody to get engaged, you make the Marry Me Chicken. It's that good. So we're whipping that up on the Traegers. Who has it better than we do?
Nobody.
All right. Poll question, play of the day, stat of the day, all of that coming up. The great Al Michaels a little bit later on. And former NBA guard and a player that Marvin thinks is one of the five most exciting players who have ever played basketball, Jamal Crawford. Are you going to tell Jamal that you think he's one of the top five most exciting players?
You guys didn't say five. You guys said the most exciting players, and he's in the conversation.
Okay, but you put him in the conversation of most exciting players.
Absolutely.
Okay, all right. You're going to die on that hill, aren't you? You're going to be alone on that hill.
Might be.
Love Jamal Crawford. Not one of the more dynamic, exciting players in NBA history. Basketball history. All right. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DPShow. Good morning. If you're watching on Peacock, you can download the app if you haven't done so to watch the program. And we say good morning to everybody listening on their radio. Over 400 cities that carry this program, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio as well. All right, 6 days until the NFL draft. Spoke to a source last night, and I said, what do you have for me? And he said, at first I thought that Michael Penix and Bo Nix would not be in the first round. I said, oh, okay, that's information. And then he says, but the more research I do, the more people I talk to, we're probably having six quarterbacks taken in the first round. And that means that Michael Penix Jr. and Bo Nix are moving on up. And that's how he described this. He said, your first four, they're probably going to be the first four, depending on if somebody trades, somebody gets squirrely, somebody moves up. But he thinks that those four quarterbacks are going to be taken probably in the first four picks. So then my source said, you know, the Raiders, you got to consider them with Michael Penix. You know, do the Rams want to move up? Denver, what do they do? So Bo Nix and Michael Penix, according to a source, not initially in his first round. But he said, after talking to some people, I truly believe there's going to be six quarterbacks taken in the first round. Sean Payton, Broncos head coach, talked about taking the right quarterback.
You'd say, man, it sure looks like we have to draft a quarterback, and yet it's got to be the right fit, the right one. And if we had the tip sheets as to who everyone else was taking, it'd be easier to answer that question. And so that's the puzzle here.
I've been saying this for a long, long time. Don't take a quarterback. Take the quarterback for you. And that's what Sean Payton is saying. GMs make this mistake. And sometimes what happens is, nobody's telling you the truth for the most part, or at least publicly. Now, privately, you might get some indications here. Like, you know, we like him if he's there. And you'll hear GMs or you'll hear fellow scouts that they'll couch things. You know, if he's there. Well, even if he's there, that doesn't mean you're taking him. But, you know, trying to work your way through the smoke screens is the interesting part 6 days out from the NFL draft. Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. Great reaction to the merchandise at danpatrick.com. A lot of new T-shirts there. C's Get Degrees T-shirt. I'm trying my best head cover for your driver and a lot more. Make sure you check it out at danpatrick.com. Most home break-ins happen in broad daylight. As the days get longer this spring, protect your home with SimpliSafe, award-winning home security. I use it. I recommend it. Get 20% off any new system at simplisafedan.com. There's no safe like SimpliSafe. Play-in action tonight, the Bulls at the Heat, Kings at the Pelicans. According to DraftKings, I've got the Bulls getting 1.5 against Miami, Miami without Jimmy Butler, and I've got the Kings giving 1.5 to the Pelicans in New Orleans. So those are the play-in games. And the odds in the Eastern Conference, the imbalance in the Eastern Conference, the Celtics are overwhelming favorites. Then it's the Sixers. The Sixers were in the play-in game. Now they meet the number two Knicks, and they're the second favorite odds-wise. Then it's the Bucks. Then it's the Knicks, Cavs, Pacers. And that's your East, the imbalance of the Eastern Conference. Yes, Seton.
Celtics have been in first place all season.
Yeah, for years, it feels like.
Fair.
Yeah.
Fair. Yeah.
But this is one of those, and we've talked about that, you know, this phenomenon of we don't care what you do during the regular season. You're one of those teams that we look at and go, what'd you do in the postseason? Dallas Cowboys, hey, 13 wins. What are you going to do in the postseason? The Celtics, hey, great regular season. What are you going to do in the postseason? And we've seen that more and more. Buffalo Bills, yeah, okay, great regular season. What are you going to do in the playoffs? And that's where we are, certainly with the Boston Celtics. It feels like there's no excuse for them to not make it to the NBA Finals. The question is, how many games will it take you to get there? How many losses would Boston have before they get to the NBA Finals? I can't see too many. I mean, that's a really good team, and the East is all banged up right now. The West, that's where it's going to be a little more challenging here. And I give the Lakers a puncher's chance here. It's not one of those where, and it feels like everybody said the same. Oh, Lakers, no chance. Well, you do have a chance. I mean, you got LeBron and AD. You know a team that doesn't have a chance? The Warriors. They don't have a chance.
Actually true.
They're out. Here's Steve Kerr talking about the Golden State Warriors moving forward.
I think we can put together a very good team and, you know, start to transition, you know, towards the next era because it's clearly in our sights. But at the same time, Steph and Draymond and Clay and Chris, they're all still very good players. But as we are right now, we're not a championship team. We know that. We're not even in the playoffs, so we can't say we're a title contender.
That's Golden State's head coach Steve Kerr on KNBR. Well, it's non-committal. It's like everybody said the right thing after they lost. Steph saying, yeah, we want to have Clay back. You know, Draymond, hey, we want to have Clay back. Okay. Do you really feel that? And at what price? Like, you know, there has to be an asterisk by this. Hey, we'd love to have him back, but everybody has to say the right thing. Steve Kerr can't come out and say, yeah, you know what? Clay is really falling off a cliff. Or Clay, you know, Steph comes out and says something, or Draymond. They do have, they've sprinkled in some younger players. So they could probably put it all back in the blender one more time, which is what I would do. I think this is an organization that's been very fair to the players. When Clay went out with the injury, they gave him, they extended him. They kept Draymond through all of his nonsense. They paid Steph. You know, the James Wiseman draft pick was terrible, but they have made some pretty good picks. I'd keep it together. I'd have one more run with this, and I'd bring Clay back for two more years. But it's not my money, not my team, and I don't have to worry about the luxury tax. But until you see some concrete evidence of they truly want Clay Thompson back, and look, I think he can still be a contributor. He's not the second best player on your team. And I think you can be fair to him. you want him to retire, a Golden State Warrior. You want Draymond to retire. I get it. And this is what, you know, franchises have to deal with all the time. When you have something special, how long do you wait? Can you wait? Or do you just ride it out and say, let's be fair to those players? I've seen it both ways. I've seen it work both ways. But with Golden State, I would keep Clay. I would bring him back. Draymond, hopefully you get a chance to talk to him so he doesn't go crazy again and do stupid things again. I mean, Steve Kerr's got a lot of work ahead of him to be able to figure this out. What role? Because Clay didn't go quietly to the bench. He went kind of pouting. Now you got to say to Clay, Clay, you're not a starter on this team, but you're a contributor on this team. Draymond may not be a starter, but you're a contributor. Are you all in? But that would be the approach I would have with Golden State. Yeah, Paul.
I can see the Warriors management being a little harsh with Klay Thompson, saying, look, we're going to need you to take a big haircut here. We're going to give you 2 years at a very low price, or you could test the market, which I don't think he would like to do. He played 2 years for them. I should say he didn't play 2 years for them, and he got his full salary. They paid him $80 million to not touch the ball for 2 years. They've been more than fair to him. I know injuries happen, but this guy has been well taken care of by that franchise. I would be a little terse with him.
Well, I would just give him a dose of reality.
Yeah.
To say, this is what we... I said this before, I would go to Steph Curry. I'd say, Steph, me and you, let's talk. What do you want? You tell me, what do you want? Or what do you not want? And it stays between us, just you and me, let's talk about this. Because as we move forward, I want you happy. You're the franchise. And I want you to help me make decisions that make this better for you. You want Clay back? You want Clay back at this price? Do you want us to try to entertain a trade for Draymond? Who would you like to see us bring in? Those would be hard questions I would ask Steph Curry. I'd give him the ultimate respect of saying, here you go. You're going to help me be a GM here. All right, poll question, Seton. What are we going to go with today?
Well, I was going to start with quarterbacks taken in the first round of the NFL draft. Three or less, four or more.
In the first round?
In the first round.
Yeah. Oh.
I mean, I could do the first three picks or four picks if you want. Well, I guess that can't be four or more, but.
How about we do five or less quarterbacks in the first round?
Five or less?
Well, we know there's going to be four.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I mean, that's foregone conclusion. There's no drama to that.
Yeah, that's
true. So five. You think there'll be five? If I gave the over-under 5.5.
5.5 quarterbacks taken in the first round. You're taking the over or under.
Okay.
And that's a push.
Yeah. I guess based on the information I got last night, I would say there's going to be six quarterbacks taken in the first round. Now, This happens in a lot of drafts. Yes, Seton.
Four in the first four picks.
Yes.
Seems excessive.
It's never happened before.
Right.
Yes.
That has the Cardinals taking one or trading out, right?
They'll trade out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Minnesota, the Raiders, the Giants, maybe Seattle. Like, there's a couple of teams where you go, wow, didn't expect them. Broncos in there. Rams maybe. There's always an outlier where you go, I'll be damned. You know, they went out and got him. Because somebody is seeing something in one of these players, and you go, we got to go get him. And you saw this with Kansas City years ago with Mahomes. They knew it. They went up. They got him. And Sean Payton doesn't want that to happen again because it happened to him when he was in New Orleans. They were going to take Patrick Mahomes. Kansas City went up, leapfrogged them. And then they end up taking Marshawn Lattimore. Yes, Paulie.
And there could be a team that nobody has taking a quarterback. What was it, 5 years ago when Green Bay took Jordan Love?
Yeah.
That was a shocker of the whole draft. They were, you could look back at the mock drafts, they all had wide receiver for Green Bay.
Well, yeah, and I'm sure Aaron Rodgers had wide receiver, wide receiver. God, could you imagine that? You're just sitting there watching. He's got his tequila. Three fingers, I think, or four fingers of tequila. And he's looking. Now, you guys know what that means with three fingers, four fingers with tequila? So the pour, when you say, oh, you know, give me four fingers.
I pick a line on the glass and just pour it up
to
that.
But that's kind of what it is. Yeah. If you put your four fingers up there, that's where the level is when you get four fingers.
I throw in a thumb every once in a while. I had a rough week.
Marvin's amount of tequila in his glass is not as high.
Dang. We're starting like that today?
No, I know. I'm
That's
sorry.
Unnecessary.
I'm sorry.
First Jamal Crawford, now this?
I know, but I still think that you needed to be, you know, put in the corner and given a timeout after the Jamal Crawford thing. I mean, one of the top 5 or 10 most exciting players of all time.
No one puts Marvy in the corner.
I know. I'm going to put Marvy in the corner. Yeah, Paulie.
We're going to bring back the sound of you and Marvin on Jamal Crawford, because from what I recall, we had the top 5 most exciting, and then I threw out there, who was that next tier? And I threw out like Jason Williams, White Chocolate, and like other players like that. And Marvin jumped in with Jamal Crawford. Could you make the case that
we even missed Dr. J in the initial drive-by? Like, you know, it was one of those where, like, you know, Caitlin Clark is in their top 5 most exciting or dynamic players. And then all of a sudden we're going, okay, who are the other players? Magic's in there and Michael's in there. All of a sudden it's like people are going, hello, how about Dr. J? Yes, Dr. J. Dominique Wilkins. I mean, there's so many players who played the game at a not only a high level, but an interesting, exciting level. And Jamal Crawford, wonderful shooter. Instant offense. Not one. Give me the signature Jamal Crawford move moment for you, Marvin. All the great memories.
See, Jamal Crawford was what I like to call a sound effects guy. Like, oh, I saw Jamal Crawford up at the top of the key. He went, ha, whap, crossover, crossover, jumper.
Okay.
We're going to go to YouTube. We're going to, you know what? Radio just doesn't do him justice.
Mark Price was more exciting than
Jamal. I'm sorry, say that again. Wait, I just said it.
Whoa. Mark Price, crossover. Boop.
I know Mark Price.
Crossover.
Boop. Wait, Mark Price from Rucker?
Huh?
Because you don't mean Mark Price from the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yes, I do. Yes.
Mike Price?
Mark Price.
Yeah, DeMarcus Price? I know DeMarcus Price.
Well, Jamal Crawford's going to be exciting to know that you have him as one of the most dynamic players who have ever played the game of basketball.
Let's go.
Yeah.
It's Friday. It's a good start.
It is Friday. It is Friday. All right. When we come back, we're going to play the quarterback draft game. Okay? Is that what we're going to do, Paul?
I don't know if we're all ready yet on this one.
Okay.
We're workshopping.
Okay. So is it a great draft or a shaky draft? Is that what we're playing?
I sent you a very bad draft and a very good draft in the recent memory. There's a lot of quarterbacks being taken.
Okay, so 2020 versus 2021? Okay, so that's good and really bad.
Then later we're playing a game. We played it the past 2 years where the four of us will pick the quarterback and the team that drafts and keeps them in the first round this year.
So who's not involved in this if you say you four are going to
You're going to judge it unless you would like to play.
Hmm.
We open to play. It's your show.
Okay. Oh, it is my show.
Yeah.
That's right. It's got my name on it. By the way, if you want this hoodie, not this exact one, because this is mine, you can go to danpatrick.com. And very nice. I mean, I'll give this away. Give it away, give it away, give it away now. We'd have to come up with a reason for me to give you the shirt off my back. But I do it.
What if you order today an item, you'll be selected randomly to get the one off your back?
Hmm. Well, I'd be more than happy to take this off, autograph it, and give it to a listener.
A little sauce stain on there?
Yeah. I don't, you know, I do have, I might have some stuff on here.
Game used.
Yeah, yes. Show used. All right, let me take a break. All right, let me get, got phone calls coming up. We'll get to those as well. It's a Meat Friday. The great Al Michaels going to stop by. The exciting dynamic Jamal Crawford is going to join us as well. We're back after this.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Two NBA insiders podcasting twice a week to plug you right into the NBA grapevine.
All happening in only one place. This League Uncut, the new NBA podcast with me, Chris Haynes.
And me, Mark Stein.
Join us as we team up to expound on everything we're covering, hearing, and chasing.
Listen to This League Uncut with Chris Haynes and Mark Stein
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
We know that quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for you and your partner whenever you want. Two beds in one, firmer or softer on each side, you decide. And it helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature as well, quiets their snoring, so you stay sleeping comfortably all night long. Sleep Number does everything. My Sleep Number setting is 75. Sleep Number smart beds learn how you sleep. They provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. You will never need another bed. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
All right, everybody. Game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the, I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I mean, even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
The women's first major of the season, the Chevron Championship. Nelly Korda trying to continue her hot start. That's the LPGA Tour today on Peacock and Golf Channel. This weekend on NBC. All right, we'll get to more phone calls coming up. Poll question, Seton, before we get to Jamal Crawford.
Well, we're going to throw up there a player with the most pressure in the NBA playoffs. Damian Lillard, Jason Tatum, Jalen Brunson, Joel Embiid.
Okay. Most pressure. Well, let me start there with Jamal Crawford, the Turner Sports NBA analyst and three-time Sixth Man of the Year award winner. Great to see you again, Jamal. Player who has the most pressure on him in the playoffs is?
Ooh, damn, that's a good one. I won't say the most pressure, but what I will say is the person who could probably change their legacy a lot more is probably Kevin Durant. I think a lot of people give him a lot of crap for the Golden State move, even though he was the finals MVP, you know, for both years they won the championship. So I would love to see those guys win it, because I think for a lot of people, it would make them look at his career totally different.
We don't even talk about the Phoenix Suns as being threatening. Why is that?
Because they've been so up and down throughout the year, but they're really built for the playoffs. I'm seeing them with them now. When Durant first came, they were using their individual talents, but it's more off the flow of the offense. And then they went through a rocky patch where it looked like it was more a little disjointed. Now it seems like they're getting it back. Bradley Beal's been great as the third option. There's times he's the first option while he's out there. I think Phoenix is built for the playoffs. They could have a deep, deep run.
I think Jason Tatum has the most pressure because they've been to the finals before. They look like they got an easy path in the Eastern Conference with everybody injured. You know, we were waiting for the Joker to win his title. He won his title. I would say Embiid has a lot of pressure, but he's coming back after the injury. But I would think the Celtics and Tatum probably have as much pressure than anybody else.
They definitely set it up that way, with Tatum accomplishing so much at a young age. And then you look at the Celtics, They're five and their top six have been terrific all year. I always say the Celtics' biggest opponent could be themselves, because when they're up 15 or 20, they're like Mike Tyson. They'll knock you out. The ball's hopping. Everything's working. But when the tight games come, they resort back to kind of doing the one-on-one, and the ball slows down, the game bogs down, and that's their biggest Achilles heel to me is trust when the games are the tightest.
How much pressure is on Jalen Brunson? You played in New York, what, 4 or 5 years? They're playing Philadelphia. They're the number two seed. How much pressure?
I don't think there's a lot of pressure on him. I think, honestly, it'll be the other guys who step up that can help him and help the team. If I'm a team, I'm not letting Brunson just play one-on-one game after game after game. It's proved he can beat you. So I'm sure you'll see different coverages, bigger defenders, double teams, and when he has to get rid of the ball from those other guys consistently make shots, I think that'll be the difference between the Knicks making a big run or not. They've already overachieved getting the number two seed with the hurt Julius Randle, so I'm not sure there's pressure on him right now.
We had a discussion on the show, and we were talking about the most entertaining players in NBA history. I don't know if you heard about it, but...
I did not hear about this.
Okay. Your name came up. One of our Danettes, Marvin. But in fact, here's the conversation, Jamal, just so you know, full transparency, not trying to hide anything. This is our back and forth. Yes, Marvin.
Not a great player, but entertaining, Jamal Crawford.
Yeah, he's not in there.
Jamal Crawford's not entertaining?
Not with these guys. I mean, you're going to die on that hill alone.
Come to my funeral.
No.
Speaking of funerals.
Jamal's not even going to die on that hill with
entertaining?
You. Entertaining?
I didn't say great.
No.
I didn't say great.
Jamal Crawford was a great shooter.
Great ball handler.
Great shooter. Great shooter. Wasn't good enough to start. Okay. So... who are you mad at? Are you mad at me?
I'm not mad at you at all, but I'm rolling with Marvin. I'm dying on the hill with him.
Okay. All right. So you're on the hill with Marvin. Okay. This is what we did. So we had Tim Legler on, and he said, Caitlin Clark's one of the top five most entertaining players. And you're throwing in Kobe. You're throwing in Mike. Throwing in Magic. Dr. J. And then Marvin brought up your name as the next group. And I said, no, that I didn't say that you weren't great, but it's like, are you more entertaining than Dominique Wilkins?
No, I'm not more entertaining. I can see why you looked at him crazy after that list of names, and I get it now.
Okay. But I just want you to know, you were instant offense. Marvin is showing me YouTube clips here, reminding me alley-oop to Blake Griffin and breaking people down off the dribble. I got that. Are you more entertaining than White Chocolate?
No, but I think we're in the same realm.
Okay.
And I'm a White Chocolate fan. I think he has some of the best handles ever. But I would say we're in the same realm as far as entertainment.
Okay. Who else would you put in there? Most entertaining players of all, like Vince Carter is in there. Most entertaining. Penny Hardaway. Iverson. Yes. There are so many players that are, I mean, it's not a negative to not make that, you know, top 10 list.
No. Kyrie Irving, Steph Curry.
Yeah.
Tracy McGrady, I think Penny, Shaq is entertainment. Like there was obviously Kobe's box office. And there's so many people. I think Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf was entertaining. I think Nick Van Axel was. There's a lot of guys for sure.
Mahmoud. It felt like he had that first crossover that I remember. I know Hardaway got credit for, you know, having a great, but Mahmoud when he was at LSU, he was scary. Led the nation in scoring.
I talked to Shaq. He said at LSU he looked at Mahmoud, Chris Jackson at the time, like a god. He was like, I was scared to talk to him because he was that big on campus. Absolutely.
But that was a crossover move.
Yes, his ball fakes after he shot it, the way his quick release, the way he embarrassed defenders, his footwork, he absolutely is one of the most entertaining.
What was it like, though, when you go into a game and you're expected to score? And like, so there's pressure that this is what you do. One of the best sixth men in the history of the sport. But that, I got to turn it on as soon as I get in while everybody else has been playing for, you know, a few minutes.
It was definitely fun because you had that freedom, but it was pressure. I look at it like maybe a kickoff return guy. You know he can run deep every time. They're just loading up in the end zone. Like, we know he's going to get back here somehow. You still have to find a way. So for me, I was actually playing the game while on the bench. I'm watching the game. Oh, they're playing this with this coverage. Oh, okay, they're doing that. They already took away this from Chris. Or they took away this from JJ. I have to absolutely counter it before I even have to use it. So I was playing the mental game and putting myself in the game while I was on the bench, and I think that helped me have some success. And then I tricked myself that I was Superman come in. Like, yeah, I'm sure now Superman's come to save the day. And I just had a heightened confidence. And for me, once I got in that role, it some magic happened at times.
All right. Well, we wanted to have you on, talk a little NBA, but we also wanted to have you on to make sure you understood that full, you know, transparency here, that we called you a great player. I just didn't have you as one of the most entertaining players of all time.
See, I have it flipped. For me, I think I'm more entertaining than great. So I think there's definitely an entertainment value there. When I played, I wasn't the greatest player. I had holes.
Okay, wait. So you want to be entertaining, not great?
No, I think I was closer to entertaining than great. I know I wasn't great, but I think I was really good at what I did, and I think I was – the entertainment part, I think, is kind of undeniable. So I'm on that hill with Marvin.
Maybe you could give him your New York Knicks jersey there behind you. That'd be a nice parting gift that Marvin is dying on that hill with you. Yes, Marvin.
Absolutely, Marvin.
Hey, Jamal, I always say you're one of those sound effects guys. Like when somebody's describing Jamal Crawford, hey, Crawford will go up to the top of the key and ha ha, what? Like you were one of those guys.
Hey, Mark, when I see people on the street, they try to do my own move on me. I've been practicing this move forever. They try to do the move on me. I know it's coming, but that part is part of the entertainment value for sure.
Oh, that's great. Oh, you're one of our favorites. Thank you, Jamal. Thanks for joining us.
Anytime, DP.
That's Jamal Crawford, Turner Sports NBA analyst and former sixth man of the year. Won it three times. All right, Marv. So I'm surprised. Would you rather be more entertaining or great? Greater or entertaining? Entertaining or
greater? Or entertaining?
Marvin, what about you?
Greater.
Instead of entertaining or?
Okay. Yeah.
Paulie?
Sometimes great's about accomplishments and winning, right? It's more of a judgment. Vince Carter was entertaining.
Would you rather be Vince Carter or Tim Duncan?
Everybody was going there.
Yes.
Come on. We all know what's happening.
Vince Carter or Tim Duncan.
I think you got to pick someone who won a little less. Vince.
Yeah, but that's being great as opposed to being entertaining. Oh. Entertaining didn't win.
I got to go Tim Duncan because his name is still out there.
So you don't want to be entertaining.
Oh.
Todd?
Clearly, Paul doesn't want to be entertaining.
Proven that for decades.
Yeah. In everyday life.
Yeah.
Todd, what about you?
I would be more entertaining, and then maybe I get cameos on TV shows and movies, and you could kind of parlay that into other fun stuff away from the court because you're that entertaining.
Seton, what about you? Entertaining or great?
Oh, man. Winning is pretty great, gotta admit. Okay. But I think I'd rather be entertaining.
So you'd rather be Vince Carter than Tim Duncan?
When I look at like Allen Iverson, all of my favorite players are the most entertaining guys, you know?
Okay. Who would be the point guard comp for... Would you rather be Tony Parker? Nah, because I'd rather be Iverson. Somebody who won. Stockton didn't win. Yeah, Paul?
Joe Dumars or Allen Iverson?
Allen Iverson.
But Dumars has what, two titles?
Okay, Isaiah Thomas, although Zeke was entertaining.
Yeah.
But he wasn't as entertaining. I mean, Iverson was, you know, unique. But I think going back to, would you rather be Vince Carter or Tim Duncan?
What do we need to do that to Tim for?
Timmy would be fine with this. He would be like, yeah, I'd take Vince Carter too.
It'd be like Chauncey Billups or...
Joe Flacco or Michael Vick?
Yeah. I think I might take Michael. Well.
Take away the off-field, just the playing career and not getting close to a Super Bowl.
Michael Vick is like Iverson.
It sure is.
Yeah. You know, it's like, man, that dude was different.
Joseph Joe Johnson.
Yeah. Joe Johnson.
Or.
Yes, Todd.
My test is, hey, that's Mike Vick over there, as opposed to, hey, Joe Flacco, come over here. Let's see if we'll sign over. Who are you more excited to see if you run into them in the street? Is how I would decide something like that.
Okay. All right.
Whose career you'd want. Who are you going to get excited to get an autograph or a picture with?
Steve in Seattle on the topic. Hi, Steve. What's on your mind today?
Well, I just want to weigh in, and let's talk about most exciting duos. And they were both great. Sean Kemp and Gary Payton playing together in the 90s for the Sonics. Doesn't get much better than that.
Well, Sean was entertaining and at times was the best player on the floor. In fact, when the Bulls played Seattle in the NBA Finals, there were two players on the Bulls who said, Sean Kemp's the best player on the floor. Didn't say it publicly, but they did say it privately.
I know who didn't say it, number 23.
Yeah, Mike was not going to say that. But, yeah, Sean Kemp was entertaining, man. Yeah, there have been a lot of those players. But entertaining or great? I was surprised, though, that Jamal said that he's closer to being entertaining than he is great. All right, let me take a break. More phone calls coming up. And next hour, he is entertaining and he is great. He's Al Michaels. He'll join us on the program. Back after this.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the, I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I mean, even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
You've probably put this off long enough. It's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has the tires that will elevate your game. Touring tires for commuting comfort. How about performance tires for sporty handling? All terrain if you're going on and off-road adventuring. Go to TireRack.com and get started. You're not sure where to begin? I suggest the easy-to-use tire decision guide. Get a personalized tire recommendation, the right tires for how and what and where you drive. Choose from the full lineup of Pirelli tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you, or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They bring the tires to your home or office and install them on site. Go to TireRack.com/Dan, see their Pirelli test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews, and be sure to check out all the current special offers. Great tires and a great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Dan. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. By the way, we mentioned Bob Uecker on the show. Word got to Bob Uecker. Bob Uecker reaches out to me and he said, what am I missing? And I said, nothing. We just mentioned your name. And he said, oh, is everything good? And I go, yeah. And I think he thought I was checking in on him. I did it one time and he said, are you checking on me to see if I'm still alive? And I said, no. But I'm glad you are. So the great Bob Uecker did reach out late yesterday. All right, we'll get to more phone calls coming up. 877-3DP-SHOW. He's a Hall of Famer. He's Al Michaels. Thursday Night Football, play-by-play on Amazon. Al, great to see you again. How's morale?
I'm so happy to fill this window of opportunity for you, as always. It's so funny. You mentioned Bob Uecker, and I know when you promoted the fact I was going to be on the show, you called me Albino. But that was the name Dennis Miller gave to me. I much prefer Alfalfa, which is the name Bob Uecker gave to me in 1982 and was stolen by Howard Cosell.
Yeah, you go back to Uecker and the Miller Lite commercials and how when he was on with Johnny Carson, and like he was killing it when he was on with Carson.
I think Johnny Carson actually said at one point, maybe he wrote about it in a book, that he put Uecker, I think, in the top five of the people he loved to interview. I think Don Rickles would be in there, too. I mean, Don Rickles is clearly the funniest man I have ever met. And Bob Uecker, I mean, he's right in that pantheon. I mean, Uecker would come. I think I've told you the story before, but I was doing a game with Uecker and Cosell in the early 80s. And, you know, Howard wanted a bunt in a situation where you'd never bunt. And Uecker's trying to talk him off of it, but, you know, very softly and kindly. And now Howard's going to play with him again. And he says, all right, Uke, you don't have to be so truculent. You do know what truculent means, don't you? And without hesitation, Uecker says, Howard, of course, if you had a truck and I borrowed it, it would be a truculent. And I mean, not only was Uecker funny, but Uecker was quick. He was, somebody would say something and a second later, bango.
I love that he said, you know, catching a knuckleball is easy. You just wait till it stops rolling.
Right. And also, I mean, he has so many great lines. You know, there was a $5,000 bonus that was offered when he signed. He said, well, my father couldn't afford that much. So I love Bob Uecker. I just love the guy.
Did you ever meet Johnny Carson?
I met him very briefly at a restaurant. I was never on his show. No. Would have loved it at that point, but I know that, you know, our good buddy Bob Costas, one of his the things that he wanted to do before his career was over, to get on the Carson show, and I think he did that last week. But no, I just met him once in a restaurant. End of story.
All right, let me set up the premise, because we thought of you, the most greatest player in sports history. So we created a new phrase here, the most greatest players, because we were talking about Wayne Gretzky. You know, when you look at dominance in your sport, 8 Hart trophies. I mean, what he did is Ruthian in his sport. But if you were going to give me your top 5 most greatest players in sports history, depending on whatever sport you want to pick.
Well, you know, it's funny because ESPN at the end of the 20th century, 1999, they did the 30 for 30 and they picked the top 100 athletes of the 20th century. And I was on a panel, and I had to pick them 1 through 100. It was hard because, you know, there were so many. I actually went with Jim Thorpe because there was no television, start of the century, multiple Olympic medalist, gold medalist, played professional baseball, played professional football. But, you know, pre-television age, radio was still in its infancy. But you're right about, now you mentioned the two people who I thought about, Babe Ruth, who, of course, would, you know, 1 year, I think 1921, he had 59 home runs to lead the league. The next guy hit something like 24. So it was, you know, pretty much like Gretzky. Wayne was the same way. You know, Wayne would lead in goals by a margin of 2.5 to 1. So I put, you know, Wayne in there, Ruth certainly. Now you get to basketball and somebody, you know, I go back when I'm in high school, I saw Elgin Baylor play. Elgin Baylor was Michael Jordan before Michael Jordan. The game was played so differently at that point. So you had Michael. I love, you know, living in L.A., I saw a ton of Kobe. And I mean, I got to put Kobe right up there next to Michael. You can argue that till your death as to who was the better guy. Everybody, for the most part, would say Michael, but they were both off the charts fantastic. I think for football, there were so many great quarterbacks. But I, for my football player, believe it or not, I put in Jerry Rice, because Rice did that same thing to the record book that Gretzky and Ruth did. Mm-hmm. He was so much better than everybody at that particular time. And while we're on the subject of Gretzky, I have to say something to you, Dan, because, you know, a lot of people obviously don't follow hockey. but as a hockey maniac, Connor McDavid of the Edmonton Oilers, without question, the best player I've seen since Wayne. And I know it's heresy to say, is he better than Wayne? Wow. But I ran into Grant Fuhr, who was the goalie on those Edmonton teams in the 80s, so he would know. And I said to Grant, it's heresy. Is McDavid better than Gretzky? He had a great answer. He said, not yet.
Oh, wow.
He said Wayne made everybody around him better. But McDavid is, I watch Edmonton on the NHL Plus, whatever it is, network, just to see him play. Anyway, so there you would have me, and then if you're only talking about teams, you're eliminating like boxers. I think Muhammad Ali actually won that thing, by the way, if memory serves.
No, Jordan won it.
Did Jordan win it? And where did Ali finish? He had to finish in the top three or so.
I think Secretariat was up there.
Wow.
Yes. And all people were so upset because I hosted that. Each week I'd reveal, who was number 17. And I remember when we revealed that Secretariat was one of the top 50 athletes of all time. Oh, people went through the roof. Paulie, you have the top five?
Yeah, the top five ESPN's greatest North American athletes. Michael Jordan, Babe Ruth, Muhammad Ali, Jim Brown, Wayne Gretzky. Then it goes to Jesse Owens, Jim Thorpe, etc.
I would put Jackie Robinson there. I think Jackie is the greatest athlete of all time for this reason. I'm going to add importance there. What he went through to do what he was doing. Baseball wasn't his best sport. He could have played football. He played football at UCLA, ran track. So he was also a basketball player at UCLA. So if I look at all four sports that he might have been able to play professionally, and by the way, you played in baseball, you broke the color barrier, you had teammates who didn't even want you on the field at that time, and you became a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I mean, again, there's no question as to the importance of Jackie Robinson and what he meant. But again, you go into this barroom argument. And by the way, why is it called a barroom? You ever say, I'm going to meet you in the barroom, right? I'm going to meet you in the bar, right?
Yeah.
I always love that phrase, barroom argument.
And it's a barroom brawl.
It's a barroom brawl, right?
Yes.
Except for a bar brawl.
Yeah.
Where did that start? Yeah, I mean, in terms of significance and what he's meant to sports and what he meant to, sports intertwined with society and a lot of everything else, Robinson is there. But then again, somebody's got to be number one. So pick your number one. And Jordan's a good answer.
Yeah, I remember we were trying to get him to do an interview. And this is right up to the very end. We're trying to get Jordan to sit down and do an interview. They want to put together his moment, and Mike didn't want to do it. And I remember at the time, Tim Duncan was playing in the NBA Finals, and he wanted to know who was going to be the number one person. He gets done. He just beat the Knicks. He comes into the interview room because I said, look, if you win the NBA title, I'll tell you. He just won the title. He walks in. He goes, who's number one? And I go, well, you guys are. He goes, no, who's number one? And I said, Michael Jordan. And then he goes, okay. Like that, for some reason, he really wanted to know. But I Mike doesn't like reflecting back. He doesn't do a lot of these interviews. I mean, he did The Last Dance. And I think The Last Dance felt like it was a reminder to those who think LeBron or Kobe, these other modern day players are on his level. I think that's part of the reason why he did that documentary.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think he knew at that point because, I mean, nobody really knew that they were doing that, and their behind-the-scenes footage and the audio was you watched it and went, wow, where'd they get that? How'd they do that? So he knew what he had in mind for maybe his legacy, but you're right. He did very few interviews, as did Kobe. Kobe didn't do that many interviews either during that period of time. So they were very selective.
He's Al Michaels, the Hall of Famer. Do you remember your first NFL game that you called?
I certainly do. So I'm doing the Cincinnati Reds during the baseball season. And then NBC called me in 1971, my first year at Cincinnati, and said, can you do a regional NFL game on October 3rd, 1971? We want you to go to Minnesota and do Buffalo against Minnesota. And in those years, the home team was blacked out, so it wasn't even shown in Minneapolis. It only went to Buffalo. It's during the baseball playoffs, which was why I got the job, because Kurt Gowdy and Jim Simpson were doing the playoffs that year. So Jay Randolph moved to number one, and I came in to do the last game. So not only does it only go to Buffalo, it doesn't even go to the regular NBC station. It goes to a UHF station in Buffalo. So Minnesota wins the game 19-0. Bud Grant was the coach. And in that game, O.J. Simpson was the running back, and Al Cowlings was the defensive lineman in that game. You can look it up.
Yeah.
So that's how I broke in. And then 2 weeks later, I did the Buffalo at the Jets at Shea Stadium, same kind of thing. New York is blacked out. It's during the baseball postseason. So I go all the way back to 1971 doing my first NFL game.
Toughest sport, or how about the easiest sport to do play-by-play in?
The easiest? Well, I built my career around baseball, so it was so comfortable. And it's a different sport to do, obviously. You have some time. It's more relaxing and all, you know. So, I mean, baseball was easy for me, and then a ton of football. You know, I've done 900 NFL games now and probably a couple hundred college games. So, you know, I get how to do football. Hockey is the hardest. Without question, hockey on radio is the hardest, because if you're in your car, you can picture a baseball game. This team's at bat, this team's in the field. In football, this team has the ball, this team is on defense. In basketball, even though a lot of turnovers, you know who has the ball. In hockey, the change of possession is so quick and so rapid. And people, you know, you don't get to see, like, if you're a fan of the Rangers, but they're playing Winnipeg, you know, you know who your guys are. You have no idea who the other guys are. So I think, you know, guys who do hockey on radio very well have a great deal of respect for me, because I think it's the toughest.
How's your eyesight?
My eyesight is pretty good. I wear a daily contact lens in my right eye.
But you have to have good eyesight to do play-by-play, don't you?
You do. Oh, for sure. But again, these days, the coverage is so great that I think very often you're calling the game off the monitor, because you can see the game a lot better off the monitor than you can if you're sitting, you know, high up. I mean, some of the broadcast vantage points are great, like Kansas City, even New York. You're kind of like right over the field and you feel like you're right there. And then you get to other places where you're like in the top of the upper deck. I remember Candlestick Park when the 49ers played there. The football broadcast booth was so high, I once said I couldn't resist myself. I said, you're actually looking down on the blimp. I mean, it was ridiculous. So you had to call the game off the monitor in those years. You know, I try to do it both ways. I try to, you know, watch how they're lined up with my naked eye, see how the play begins. Then you go to the monitor, because you're going to see it a lot better off the monitor.
Yeah, I always admired what Doc Emmerich did.
Tremendous.
But to do it on TV where it's so fast-paced, but you don't have to describe all the action, because you want to be fair to the audience that you don't say everything that you see. But when
right.
it comes to radio, and that's the tricky part of, you can see it, I don't have to say it, but what am I going to say to kind of complement what you're watching? How difficult was that for you at any time?
Yeah, well, I didn't do that much hockey, but you know.
Well, any sport though, like you're, right. We get to see, and you assume your audience is knowledgeable, and then how much do you tell them what they're actually seeing?
Well, first of all, I mean, there's a difference between announcing a football game on television and on radio. On radio, you need to use every verb. Nobody can see anything. Mm-hmm. On television, I talk about very often using captions and ellipses. You see the play, you don't have to necessarily use the verb, because the verb becomes a visual to the fan. So in football and base, same thing basically in baseball, and roughly the same in basketball. Hockey is a different animal, because in hockey you know, and Doc Emrick had it down perfectly. He almost did a radio call on television. Not exactly, but, you know, you want to keep up with the pace. The pace of the game is so fast, yeah, and back and forth and change of possession and almost scoring. So it's pretty, hockey would be the closest to combining radio and television. The other sports are vastly different.
Would you rather be great or entertaining?
Well, I think they go hand in hand, Dan.
Well,
I really
let's say you could be Vince Carter.
Yep.
Or Tim Duncan.
Good question. I'd like to be a hybrid.
That's not an answer, Al.
No, who had the better career? I mean,
Tim.
Yeah, for sure. No question about it. And it's funny because, you know who reminded me of Tim? Pete Sampras. And I remember once after Pete retired, and, you know, Pete lives out here, and I played a lot of golf with him through the years. And we were walking down the fairway at one point, a couple of years after we retired, and he was a little worried about becoming not as relevant in retirement. And I said to him, you remind me of Tim Duncan. I think you'll only be appreciated to the fullest extent after you're gone. And they were the same kind of people, right? Not necessarily gregarious, obviously, or entertaining, but tremendous. Tremendous.
You didn't answer the question. Didn't answer the question.
Vince Carter or Duncan. What can I tell you? Yeah, Duncan won championships and all that. Vince was, you know, Vince was great to watch. But, you know, Duncan, I mean, what are you playing the game for? You're playing the game to win the game. And, you know, look at Duncan's record. Unbelievable.
Great to talk to you. Hopefully we didn't, slow down your golf game today.
Listen, I have to tell you one thing. The last golf tip you gave me.
Johnny Miller.
So it worked for about 3 holes. But Dan, the problem right now is when I try to put that in my head, what I do is I go, Johnny Miller.
Johnny Miller. Slow down your swing.
Johnny Miller. I know. It's like,
thank you, Al.
All right.
Great to talk to you, buddy.
Dan, I'll be good, man.
That's Al Michaels.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I mean, even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
What makes a Mercedes-Benz EV different? Electric is what gets you there, but Mercedes is what moves you, like no other automaker can. The vehicle, all electric, the feeling, all Mercedes. The choice is all yours. Learn more at mbusa.com/EQ.